Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from Psalm 119. I read verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The theme for the sermon is a light unto my path. We have 3 points. The first point, the light. Second point, the path, and the third point, the word. So the theme is a light unto my path. 3 points, the light, the path, and the word. Congregation, it was a dark night. And someone was breaking in the house of someone else, burglar, trying to steal his stuff. He did it in the darkness. But something waked up the owner of the house. Maybe he touched something in the darkness. For any reason, the owner of the house woke up. And he listened and he heard someone in his house. So he went to see what was going on and he ran into this burglar. And there was a fight in the darkness. Terrible fight. Who's going to win this fight? They were both strong. And they both were fighting as much as they could. And then the owner of the house got an idea, got a thought in his mind. He found his way to the switch of the light. He switched on the light. And then there was no darkness in that room anymore. And that changed the whole situation. That was the decision of the fight, because this burglar did not want to be recognized. It scared him to death and he ran away. And so the fight was over. Because of the light. The light took away the darkness, and also the darkness of this evil thing, of this burglar, it broke his resistance. Light is so powerful. Light has such an influence. We cannot even imagine what it would be without any light. If you think about it, there would be no life, is it? There would be no joy. We kind of have a hard time sometimes when for weeks there's no sunshine. We really look forward to see the sun shining. Yes, there's some light, but to see the clear light of the sun, we have a desire to see the light. Yeah, you need light when you're traveling. If you think about someone hiking in the mountains and trying to follow a certain trail, then it's dark. He needs light because he's in such a danger if he does not have light. Yeah, light is a wonderful word, light. And that's what this psalm is speaking about. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A light unto my path. It is necessary. If you imagine a ship in the sea in storm and then a lighthouse, oh, what a joy and hope it brings to the hearts of the sailors, isn't it? It makes the difference between being destroyed or being safe. That lighthouse showing them their direction and the way to be safe. Well, Christ is calling himself the light of the world. What a beautiful name. I am the light of the world. And he who is following me will not walk in darkness. So we have to think about Christ as a light. And Scripture is making it clear. And if we look around us and do not close our eyes, we will agree that this world became a dark place, isn't it? Because of sin. But Christ came in this world, He came in the darkness. Yeah, it's interesting that Christ says this, I am the light of the world, that He says this in soon after we read in John 8 that history of a woman who was taken in the act of adultery. And the purpose of people taking her, bringing her to Christ was a dark purpose. And yes, her sin was also darkness. And then Christ, after dealing with this situation, says, I am the light of the world. For you, scribes, with all your darkness and tricks, and for you as well, who are caught in lust and sin, I am the light of the world. So we can say, and we have to say, this life and this world is to be compared to a dark night. And imagine yourself in that house, and there's a burglar came in trying to steal your stuff, start a fight. Is that not what Satan is? Is he not the strong one entering the house of our lives, trying to destroy our lives and hearts? And it's such a fight. And we will lose the fight if there's not the light of Christ coming in our lives. But that makes a difference. That light of Christ will break the power of this strong one, this prince of darkness. Satan is called the prince of darkness. He is darkness, and all he does is darkness. Totally opposite of God, who is light, and there's no darkness in him. Satan is the prince of darkness. He is the liar and he is the murderer. And these are strong words to describe darkness. Lie and murder. He is the prince of this world. The prince of dark. This world became a dark place because of sin. Because of turning away from God. Turning our back to God. And now we all by nature walk in darkness and do the will, Christ says, of your father, who is a liar and a murderer. Our heart is dedicated to darkness by nature. But we cannot leave this world. We have to live in this world. We have to go through this world. But we should not be from this world. We should not be conformed to this world. Our life should not be darkness. No, we should be transformed to Christ. Our life should become light. So let's think a little bit more about light. Our first thought is light. What? Maybe you think, okay, these are nice words, but what does it mean to me practically in daily life to think about light? To think about that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What does it practically mean, that light? How could we describe it? I mean, it is not literally, it's not that this Bible is literally a lamp, a light. So what does it mean? How can we try to understand it better? It has a spiritual meaning, this word light. And we already saw certain words that have to do with it, especially very important to understand the light that Christ says, I am the light of the world. He doesn't mean that literally either, but in a spiritual way. Well, let's try to find words to describe this light. It's very helpful to look in Scripture to Christ, to what Scripture is revealing about Christ, so that we can understand the word light. If you read about Christ, who He is, either prophesied in the Old Testament, in the promises, or fulfilled in the New Testament, where He appeared, where He came into this world, if you read about Christ, then you start to discover what it means, light, in a spiritual way. So let's see Christ this morning. Let's see Him before our eyes, like He is shown in the Word, like He is walking here on earth as the light of this world. And if you see Christ, if you listen to Him, then you could think about the word truth. Christ says, I am the truth. So light has to do with truth. Like we saw the opposite, Satan, the prince of darkness, is the liar. From the beginning in paradise, he started to lie, and he's still lying all the time, whispering lies in your ears, in your hearts. Christ is the truth. I'm the truth, the way and the life. And he's speaking truth. There's not even one word that he was speaking that was not totally true. And truth is a word that has to do with faithfulness, with a stronghold, you could say. Truth. And we probably understand it. Imagine a situation you have to deal with, and yeah, there's no truth in it. Maybe you have a business and you have to do business with a certain person, and you feel like this person is not speaking the truth. He's avoiding it. He's saying all kind of nice words. But, you know, I have discovered that they have no real content. They are not true. He's changing his words and his opinions and the things he does. He's changing all the time. It's no stronghold. I don't know how to deal with this situation. Makes you, yeah, what kind of emotions do you feel? You feel uncertain. You feel angry. You feel frustrated. You cannot get a hold of him. He's as slippery as it could be. And so it's something you cannot live with, isn't it? Well, and then the opposite, Christ. All the words he has spoken are true, strong and firm. You're not deceived. They will happen. I hope you have that experience. Christ, you find Christ in the Word. Christ is the Word which became flesh. So when this verse says, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path, it's very much connected to Christ. But also what I want to ask you this morning is, if you read Scripture, did you ever experience that it overwhelmed you, that you thought, and these words are true? Words that you might have read many times. A simple verse like, those who trust in the Lord will not be ashamed. Something like that. All those verses in Scripture. And you will not be disappointed if you depend on the Lord. All these words. And you've read it, but yeah. That moment when you saw that it is the truth, it overwhelmed your heart. That moment when you were depending on the Lord, your heart was filled with joy because, and you knew, I will not be ashamed because God is at my side in Christ. He has taken my case as his own case. And that's so overwhelming. If you can read scripture in that by faith, trusting the truth, it becomes a light in your life, isn't it? It takes away all the uncertainty and the fear, the anxiousness. As soon as you read it, it shines in your heart and in your life. And then you get hope. That's not a word. We could relate to light. Light brings hope. You remember the sailors in the storm, in the night, in danger. When they see the lighthouse, hope is filling the heart. There might be. There will be salvation. They are not lost because there is the light. And it's showing them the way. So hope. This world is a dark place. How many people do not have hope? What is hope? You could say hope is the expectation of what God has promised that will be fulfilled in the future. And that hope in your heart, that makes life so different. It takes away the darkness. Makes a difference if you are in a dark tunnel and there's no light, but as soon as you see light at the end of the tunnel, it makes such a difference. You know, this darkness will not last forever. Hope. If you talk to people in this world, how many people do not have hope? What is the use of this life? Why am I born? I think it's in India, there's a young man who's started a court case against his parents because he didn't want to be born. How many people do feel like, what is the purpose of my life? Why am I born in this world? The scripture, being powerful in your heart, makes a difference. It's showing you the future that is prepared in Christ. It is showing you the high purpose of your life, that God has a purpose for you, young people, children, adults, and the purpose is to know God. This is everlasting life, you could say, real life. To know God, to know light. Christ shining in my heart, the Son of Righteousness. I get hope. No, I'm not denying my situation, the reality of my depravity and my guilt and weakness. With Christ shining in my heart, He is removing the darkness of hopelessness. I'm no more desperate. No hope, because of the light of the Word shining in my heart, received by faith. So, truth, hope. Think of another word that is describing light. The word love. Well, this world is full of songs about love, but many times it's not really love they're singing about. Or at least you could say it's a selfish love. It's about what I want to experience to satisfy myself and to fulfill my desires. But love in the biblical meaning of the word agape is the self-sacrificing love. And that is such a wonderful gift of God that it brings so much joy. There you have another word, joy. Because of love that I experience, to be loved makes the difference, isn't it? We all want to be loved. They say when children are born and they would be taken care of, but without love, without sweet words and touching in a loving way, those children, those babies will die because they need love. It becomes so dark without love. This world is a dark place because of all the selfishness, but Christ showed amazing love in coming in this world and brought light in this world. And I read about it in the Word. There I find revealed that God has given a way that I am, can be and will be loved, accepted by God in Christ. And that makes the difference between darkness and light in my life. I think I can continue for hours to describe it. It's so deep and so wide what Scripture is saying about light. Christ is the light of the world. His mercy, His grace, His justice, His salvation, all these words, His faithfulness, they all have to do with light. Those are such precious words. Not only words, but realities. There is justice. Nothing is so frustrating than a lack of justice. But God is just. There is salvation for lost sinners. There's faithfulness. And all these words describe it in a beautiful way. Describe light. We find it here in Scripture. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Because it's showing me Christ, who He is, what He has done, what His work is, what I receive by faith out of Him. He is a fountain of all these things, all these good gifts of love, joy, peace, forgiveness, grace, mercy, justice, faithfulness. It's like a fountain. And by faith we drink. And our heart is no more a dark place, but the light of Christ is shining in our hearts. So you need a word. And then you understand that this psalm says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Yeah, as soon as you start to discover the darkness of this world, and you find the world here within in your heart, by nature, my heart is like this world. It's the same darkness. As soon as you become aware of it, then this word becomes so sweet. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. So if you do not understand what I'm talking about, that means that you are still in darkness. That means that you are still blind, do not see a reality. You're still deceived. You are like someone hiking in the mountains in a dark night and you have no light. I remember one time we were in Switzerland hiking in the mountains, and I was pretty inexperienced, and at a high point of the mountains, and there was a thunderstorm, and it came so fast, and the group of people we were with, we all get scared because of the thunderstorm. It was dangerous and it was cold and snow, and we wanted to get down, but where is the path? Because you couldn't just walk down, it could be too steep and you would fall down, it's dangerous. We tried to find a path, a trail, so that we could go down and be safe. Well, imagine yourself to be in the mountains, hiking there, and it's dark, it's a dark night. What could you do? How great, how big is the danger if you would not have a light? Thy word is a light unto my path. You can think about light in different ways. Of course, in the time of the Bible, they didn't have electricity. So a light, what was a light? A light was like oil, an oil lamp, you could say. It would give you light, but yeah, just enough to walk there so that you could see where you put your feet, where the trail is, but not a light shining far ahead, far before you, but you don't need it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, step by step, trusting in the word of God. We walk this way of life. You can also think about a lamp as a lamp that you need to read, to get knowledge. The word of God is so necessary to get knowledge of God, to know Him like He is. You can think about a light as a lamp that miners use. They might have it on their head, a mine lamp. And they are deep down under the earth, in the earth, in the darkness, in the dirt. When you are in such a depth of sin and guilt, and then to open the Word, oh, it makes such a difference. I hope you know that, you experienced that in your life, that the Word was a light, a lamp in the darkness. It is a light, it is a lamp for the night, in the darkness of the night. You're so thankful that there's a light. When you struggle through a dark night of affliction, you're so thankful. Children are so thankful when there's a light somewhere in the house in the dark night, so they would not be so scared. They find some comfort by it. In the darkness of affliction, in the depth of trials and tribulations, there's a Word. And is bringing comfort to my heart. Even in the hour of death, there will be the Word. There will be the light. There will be Christ for God's children. It's like a lighthouse to enter the safe harbor. Second thought is the path. The path. So you could compare this life to a journey, to a way, a road that you have to travel. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's a certain path, a certain trail we have to walk through this world. So we can compare this life to a journey, a path. And I don't know if you had to travel a long way. You're very thankful when you're not all by yourself. And we need God to be at our side in this journey. And in the Word, God is revealing Himself. And so then He is the one who is leading us in this life. And we have to go a certain path, a certain journey. And it has to do with the providence of God. The sovereign providence of God. The place where you were born, the time, the moment where you were born, the situation, the family, the circumstances, it all has to do with the providence of God, His plan and His counsel. There's a certain time we are born, and there's a certain time that we will pass away from this life. And it is in the mighty hand of God, and in His wisdom, His plan, He has decided about it. That's what Scripture is teaching us. And it's so important that we see that. Because we all are different. We all have different backgrounds. We have different gifts and talents. We have different positions and different responsibilities. And there are times that we struggle a lot with it. Maybe you do right at this moment. Why is my situation like this and this? I mean, I know people who are like such and so. I would rather be like them. I would rather have such a way of life, or their talents, or their gifts. And then it's so important that you look to the providence of God. And then that the Word might shine in your life, revealing that God has His purpose, His plan, His counsel with eats of His creatures, also with you. And then if you see this journey of life in the light of the Word, what do I mean? Well, that we are created by God for eternity. And that this life, you could say, is like a preparation for eternity. Then I hope that you see that it doesn't make so much difference what your position is, what your talents are, where you are born or where you live in this world, how old you will be. But the great question is, what is your eternal destination? Compared to that, everything else is so small. And then, but you say, well, Pastor, that's too fast, because it makes a difference. Let's say you live a life of poverty or disability. And that's not easy at all. I know. Maybe I don't know at all, or not good enough. I mean, you really know when you are in such a position, but I can see something of that. Then I hope that the Word is a light for you, that you may believe that God has His purpose with this poverty, or with this disability in your life, or with this deep disappointment in your heart, this pain, this hurt that you feel, and that it all will work for good. And that's what Scripture says, for those that love Him, those that are called according to His purpose. Can you see the difference? If this light is shining on your path, the journey, the way you have to go through this life, that you may surrender it all to the Lord, that you may bring it all to Him, that you may not take that burden yourself, but put it in His hands, that you may trust Him. I'm sure it makes all the difference. Let me mention two words. It will help you to understand. The first word is acceptance. I talked to a lady with mental trials, and someone tells me all the time, acceptance. It makes such a difference if we fight against it, against the hardship in our life, or if we could accept. If we could believe that things are happening according to the providence of God. And the other word I would like to mention is satisfaction. If you could be satisfied with what God has in His counsel, in His plan, prepared for you. It makes such a difference in the journey of this life, isn't it? There are some people, they are never satisfied. And I think there are always things you could complain about, isn't it? But we usually look to the wrong in the wrong direction. We look to people that seem to do better, to have more. How many in this world are struggling in an awful way? And we have our basic need, the necessities, things we need for life, and much more than that. And if you see yourself in the light of what Scripture says, that we should be satisfied when we have covering and food, when we have a place to live and a living, and then I'm ashamed, such a sinner, so proud, So such a lack of gratitude towards God, my Creator. And then I have to open the Word. And then I stop to complain, isn't it? And the Word becomes powerful in my heart. When Christ is shining in my heart. When I, in my darkness of trial and pain, see the darkness of Christ, where He was crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I have nothing to say. My heart is melting and I'm united to the will of God. Lord, thy way is just. He was hanging there because of my horrible sins, and He took it all upon Himself. And here I am, complaining, while I'm so much comfortable, more comfortable than Christ was in His life on earth, and especially in His death. The Word is a light on our path, in the journey we have to make in this world. And Christ says, I am the way, I'm the life, I'm the truth. So, to know Him, that makes a difference. To walk with Christ, to look to Him, to rest in His work, that makes all the difference. And that light of Christ shining in your heart, that's something that's going to shine from your life. Like Christ says, those that drink from the living water, their belly will be a fountain of living water. If you drink in the grace, the love, the mercy, the forgiveness of Christ, if that light is shining in your heart, it cannot be different. It will shine from your life, from your heart. You will become gracious and, yeah, you will be transformed to the image of Christ. What a wonderful thing to see that happening in the lives of people. That's the secret of the communion of the saints, the fellowship of the saints. That's a secret of the church in this world. Christ dwelling in us. I'd like to read a few verses. This psalm is so rich. If you read verse 104, it says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So the light of understanding in my life is making the difference. Then I hate every false way. The light of the truth of Christ. Or if you read verse 106, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I've sworn, I will perform it. What do you hear in this verse? There's something of dedication. It's not something of my mouth only, it's something of my heart. Yeah, that makes a difference. It's something of love. It's something of the love of Christ. He loved me first, that's why I love Him. And so, that's the key, that's the source, that's the reason of the dedication in my life to the Lord. Or if you read, let's read one more verse. If you read 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. So a snare, yeah, if it would be dark, then it would catch you. You would fall, you would be caught by the snare. And this world is full of snares. Sin, Satan, the wicked. Yet I erred not from thy precepts. The word of God was a light, and so I escaped from the snares of sin and Satan. It says in verse 109, my soul is continually in my hand. What does that mean? Yet do I not forget thy law. Life is so hard for me. My soul, my life is continually in my hand. Like you keep something that's very fragile and precious, you keep it secure. Well, that's how my life is. It's in danger to break, to be cut off, to be taken away. I'm in such danger in this world. My soul is continually in my hand. I have to keep it carefully to watch it. But even this trial, or right because of this trial, yet do I not forget thy law. That's why thy word is in my heart, so that I may be kept. Let us first sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 32, stanza 1 through 4. 32, stanza 1, Lord, hear the right, regard my cry, my prayer from lips sincere. 32, all stanzas. Congregation, the third point is the word. Let's think about the word. The Bible, the scripture, we need to use it daily to let it be, under the blessing of the Spirit, a light in our lives daily. You cannot say, well, now I can walk a mile in the dark night, hiking in the mountains, I can find this trail for a mile, and then I will. No, you need a daily use of scripture. Not as a burden, not as just a duty that you have to fulfill, but as a light. You need it. It's necessary to receive the light of the Word in your heart. Scripture is saying beautiful things about the Word. Especially Peter is speaking about it in 2 Peter 1. There he is speaking about the Word as a light in a dark place. 2 Peter 1, there he says in verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts." So, as long as we are in this life, here on earth, we need to, but God has provided as well, a word of prophecy. And it is more sure. It is very sure. And you do well when you take heed of it. And it's so interesting. It is so remarkable to see in what context Peter is saying this. He says it after he was describing an amazing experience he had, that he and two other disciples were at a Mount of Transfiguration, where the voice came from heaven and the light, the glory was seen, and Christ was transfigured, you could say, in a glorious way, and was seen with Moses and Elijah. That was something so overwhelming. Peter wanted to make tabernacles to, like he said, "I would like to keep this, I would like to stay here," and we all probably will agree with him. To be in such a place, to have such an experience, I would like to have such an experience. You too, children? That glory, that voice from heaven, to see Jesus in glory, together with Moses and the prophet, you could say, Elijah. But Peter doesn't say you need such an experience. He doesn't say that at all. No. And I didn't have such an experience. But Peter says we have also a more sure word of prophecy. You have Scripture. It's more sure. More sure? Yes. I mean, that was once at a time that Peter has experienced it. It was wonderful, great. But here's the Word, and it is speaking all the time. In so many ways, for so many different situations, we have also more sure word of prophecy. So that's what I mean when I say sometimes you don't need a special experience. Well, you do need an experience. You do need the experience of regeneration by faith, by the Word. But I mean an extraordinary experience, like an audible voice from heaven, or something like seeing a wonderful, glorious light in this world. No, these things are not needed for salvation. You need the Word, and it is more sure. It's a word of prophecy. "And you do well that you take heed as unto a light shining in a dark place." It would be totally dark here. No light. And there, at the back door, someone comes with a light. We all would turn around. You would watch the light. Well, you do well when you behave like that towards the Word. You take heed of it like a light shining in a dark place. Peter says something else also in his letters. If you take 1 Peter 2, verse 9, and there he says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So that should be the fruit. The Word is shining in your life. then you tell the praises of God. That's the fruit in the lives of God's children. No, not starting to boast in yourself because of you are so special and your faith is so special and you do such special things. No, that's not a fruit of grace. That's the fruit of the flesh. And that can even happen in a religious way, but that you tell the praises of Him who has drawn you out of the darkness. Of course you will do that. Because He is before your eyes. You lift up your eyes to Christ. Well, what good would you tell about yourself in the light of Christ? No good at all. But Christ, He is so beautiful and so precious that you're gonna tell His praises. Cannot be different. It should be that way. It will be that way. That's the fruit of the Spirit, Christ. He is the Word which became flesh, and He is shining in the hearts of sinners. Let's talk for a moment about receiving a text verse of Scripture. That happens, huh? God is sometimes bringing a verse in a powerful way in your mind, that you feel that He is telling me something, that He is guiding you in a certain direction. But we have to be careful about it. First thing that is important in such a situation is that you study carefully what is the meaning of this verse in the context of Scripture, so that you do not misunderstand it and do not give it your own interpretation. And the second thing is, be careful about the application. Maybe that you understand the meaning and now you apply it in a certain way. Oh no, that means that I have to behave like this or make this decision, or God is doing this in my life. But be careful. It could be that you make the wrong application. What's to the Lord, how He is leading and guiding you. And be careful, because it can be that you deal with it in a carnal way. You have to be very careful. Our heart is deceitful. It can be that we use Scripture to follow the desires of the carnal heart. And so it's important that we get a feeling, an understanding of the Spirit of Scripture, and see it in that light. Is it more about me, about my desires, or is it more about God and about His glory and His kingdom? That's something of what I mean with the Spirit of Scripture. If you take the whole Scripture, that's something of that Spirit of Scripture. And it's good to test in such a situation if it is more for yourself than for the Lord, more for your flesh than for the glory of God. Our heart is deceitful. So sometimes people say, I got a text verse in my heart, and that makes me conclude that I'm saved. Be careful. Christ only is the rock of salvation. So it cannot be that there's not the dedication and the surrendering to Christ in your heart, but that you got a verse in your mind and conclude from that you are saved. Without your heart being humble before the Lord. Be careful. My pastor in the Netherlands, and I was not yet pastor myself, he sometimes said Satan is giving text verses as well. Be careful. You cannot just conclude that a verse comes in your mind that you are saved. No, it is a matter of the Spirit humbling you under the Lord. You understand what I mean? The Word, yes, God is using the Word, but in such a way that it is breaking my heart, convincing me about my sin before God. Cannot be that I just have a verse in my mind and stay the same before God, have no conviction that I am condemnable before a holy God and then conclude that I'm saved. No. Now the word is used by the Lord, but in such a way that it is changing my heart. And then that way it becomes a light in my life. That's why we have to be faithful in attending the proclamation, the preaching of the word. Let's not miss the church services. Let's be there. It's encouraging to see people faithful in the ministry of under the ministry of the word. But especially, it's the place where the Holy Spirit is working and removing the darkness and bringing light to our souls. You could say the word is a lamp, a light. Sometimes you have lamps that bring heat as well, for little animals or something. Well, there's such a strong power in the word that is kindling a fire in my heart, the fire of the love of Christ, changing me forever. That can never be taken away. And the love of Christ is received in your heart. Do you know that? Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we come before Thee. We pray, Lord, that Thou would bless Thy word to our hearts. It's a divine word. There's a power, divine power to salvation. Lord, we pray that Thou would take away everything was not according to Thy will in speaking and listening. And also, Lord, that the word will be fruitful in our hearts. Lord, we pray, be with us when we have classes, Sunday school, catechism, adult classes. Open our hearts for the word there as well. And bring us in Thy house again this evening, Lord. And O Lord, that we may see Christ. And that we will not walk in darkness, but in the light. Draw us to Him with His love. Lord, forgive our sins. Help us. Bless us. We pray, let it be to the glory of Thy name. Thou art so worthy to be praised and glorified. Hear us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.